to the book of Psalms, Psalm 46.
I've been trying not to holler too loud while they're singing, so I can get through this tonight. I'll try to sit down as much as I can so that I can you can hear. I've had a little throat problems here in the last day or so, because I've been preaching every night and didn't have no air conditioning over yonder. I was soaking wet every single night. And then all day yesterday, and so I guess it might be just a little worse. Like Gary used to say, I've got a horse in my throat. Psalm 46. Now I'll read you this scripture tonight, and preach just a few minutes tonight to everyone here that may be really having a hard time. We're glad that all of you that are visiting are with us tonight. And I don't know you. I know most of the folks that are here, the folks. And I know some of the burdens and some of the trials that some of you folks have had to go through. I know you have. I know personally people in here that have been and are going through extremely difficult times in their Christian life. There is like more pressure on Christians nowadays than ever before. Just to nearly just break. And I know you get, everywhere I go, I run into Christians that have their heart broke. Home, broken marriage, or children breaking their heart on drugs, or maybe a family situation, or maybe they just lost their job, or something like that. And it's not easy. Buddy, it's not easy. It's easy to shout when on the mountaintop and everything's going great. When it feels like you are just struggling with all your might and everything is going against you, then it's not that easy then. And all these songs tonight have kind of pointed the song they sang about the lilies. Consider the lilies. And all these things tonight, he's got the whole world in his hand. Have just kind of went along with what I'm going to preach about tonight. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Boy, that's a mouthful, ain't it? He said, we're not going to get scared if the earth goes out from under us. That's a mouthful. You know what? What if you're standing here and all of a sudden, the earth shot into outer space and you was just hanging out here? You wouldn't get scared? Great day. We will not fear though the earth be removed. Look at verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake, earthquakes and things, with the swelling thereof, Selah. Now that little word Selah means, you see that in the Psalms a lot, and that little word means stop and meditate for a second. Or think about what you just got through reading. Slow it down a little bit. Think. You'll notice every time that word Selah is in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, there's a reference to the coming of Jesus about 10 verses, one way or the other, every time. Think about it. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts, there's that second coming, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. There's our hope for Iraq and Iran and the United States and Hussein or whatever his name is and everybody else. God is our hope. He is that people whose God is the Lord. And if there's ever been a time when we need to learn to trust God, it's now. As you know, there's been people right here from Marion called off to Saudi Arabia, Siberia, or wherever they're taking all these people. And boy, they're taking these different places, calling our reserves, and they're taking them in. And what they need to realize is that God maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I'm preaching to you tonight on the subject, how to trust God when you're in a time of trouble. One of the most illogical, ridiculous, false beliefs or concepts today is this assumption that if you're right with God, that you will never have no problems, that you will not ever get sick, no burdens, or anything. I want to tell you tonight, if that be true, if the name it, claim it gospel of TV preachers, some of them, is true, that if you're right with God, you'll never get sick, and never have no problems, and no battles, and always have everything you need. If that's true, I ain't never been right with God. You hear me? If that's true, I ain't right with God. Because I've had nothing but trouble, it seemed like, ever since I started serving the Lord. There's been many blessings, and I praise God for it. But buddy, you talk about burdens and difficulties and hard times when it's not easy to go and it's not... Listen, that's a ridiculous doctrine. You know why we know it's wrong? Because in the past, God's people have suffered unbelievable agonies. You read the Old Testament, you'll see Job there in the Old Testament, an upright man that feared God and hated evil. One day while Job was sitting in his house, the servant came in and said, your sheep's gone, your cattle's gone, your ox's gone. Another fella came in, barns burned up. Your cattle's gone. Another fella came in. All your 10 children are dead, Job. Not only that, he lost his health and his boils broke out in boils. And that old boy had it rough. You mean to sit there and tell me tonight Job wasn't right with God? Job was right with God. Job was a man that feared God and hated evil. And yet trouble came unto him. If you're here tonight and you're serving God, listen to me, church. Listen to me. Every one of you, every single one of you is going to have something in your life that breaks your heart and almost devastates you. Don't ever get somebody else and envy them because they may not have your problem, but they've got another problem. I'll guarantee you that. If you look at somebody and say, boy, that lucky dog, they've got it made. You don't know what they may be going through that you don't know about. Man is born into trouble as the sparks upward, all the way through the Bible. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Old Testament prophets. Jeremiah in the Old Testament was a man that loved God and preached the Word. He wound up in the pit, down there in the muck, in the mire. There's one or somebody in the youth choir said the other night, they was playing Bible trivia on the bus or something, and somebody asked the question, they said, what was Jeremiah before he was a prophet? Somebody hollered out, a bullfrog. I don't know what he did before he started preaching. I don't know, but I know one thing. Buddy, when he was right with God, and he sure got in a mess. What was David as he looked at a little casket and saw that little baby that was bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh? And he saw that little baby laying there. He couldn't do nothing but look up and say, oh God, I don't know why this happened, but oh God, I know that I can trust you. Listen, every Christian needs to learn to trust God when trouble comes. Learn to trust God. Don't turn tail and run. Don't quit church. Don't quit serving God just because you have a problem. Just because maybe you wind up... I think about all the folks in this church. I think about Sister Diane Hamilton tonight at home, just out of the hospital. All the problems that girl's had, and all how she's trying to raise her family, and then the physical problem, the operation, the hospital bill. She's not here tonight. I don't think she'd mind me mentioning that. But I want to tell you, brother, that sister has been there. She's still got her chin up. She's still got her faith in the Lord. I look around here tonight. I see Brother John sitting over there. Me and Brother John talked a lot on the way down to Darlington yesterday. How he stayed in there, regardless of the obstacles. Many many people would tell him, you don't have no business for John. You can't never preach John. But he stayed in there and he'll be preaching Wednesday night, the Lord willing. Listen, I look around here tonight and I see people. I can just start naming names tonight of one person in here right after another who has gone through deep, dark valleys and tried, but yet put their faith in the Lord and hung in there. And now God has brought them through it. Well, I'm telling you, if you're in a deep, dark valley tonight, just keep looking up, because wherever there's a deep valley, there has got to be a mountain on both sides. There's to be. Valleys don't last forever. They sometimes are over before you realize. You think about Daniel in the lion's den. You think about Ecclesiastes 11:8, where he said, remember the days of darkness, for there shall be many. There'll come a time when the boss will tell you that he no longer needs you at the plant. There'll come a time when some of you will come home. There'll be a little note. Maybe there won't even be a note. It'll say, I've had it. I've got my clothes. Don't come and look for me. It's over. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you want something that'll knock you for a loop, you let something like that come your way, you get a phone call from down at the police station and tell them they got your teenage boy or your girl down there in there, or maybe in intensive care or being drugged. Listen, you can be happy tonight and everything seem to be going your way, and by this time tomorrow evening, you may not want a bite of food. You may not be able to breathe without devices going up your nose and down your throat. At night can turn into day, just like, or day can turn into night. So I'm going to tell you tonight how to trust God when your heart's broke. How to trust God when it seems like you're just dying inside. How to trust God when you seem like there's no use in me living. Why am I having to go through this? Oh God, does it have to be this way? I want to give you three little simple truths tonight, and you get them real careful. I don't know who this is for, but I believe this thing, and the Lord laid it on my heart, and it is for somebody in here specifically. Number one, first thing I want to say to you that evening is God has not forgotten you. Amen? God has not forgotten you. Hebrews said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Did you know it's possible to think you don't have a friend on earth? It's possible to think that everybody has turned away from you. It's possible to think that, well, nobody even cares. Have you ever felt like that? Well, the next time you feel like that, you just remember God has not forgotten you. God's still got His eye on you. God's still got His hand on you. Now the devil will come around to you and he'll come up to you and he'll punch you on the shoulder. And he'll say, God is tired of fooling with you. He's going to say, God don't want to bless you no more. He has put you on the shelf. You have sinned too much. You've done too much wrong. God's forgot about you. And the devil will heap that on you and heap that on you and heap that on you. But you hear me tonight as your friend. You hear me tonight as your pastor that loves you. You hear me tonight as a brother in Christ. You hear me tonight as one that's experienced, that's been through this thing. When the devil tells you God's all through with you, and when the devil tells you there's no use trying, and when the devil tells you that nobody cares, and when the devil tells you you don't have any friends, I want to tell you, brother, God Almighty's up in heaven. He forgot you. He's just as real in there in those hard times as He was when you was on the mountaintop shouting. And God in heaven, He never forgets one of His young'uns. Hallelujah! He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That means God it now. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a blessing to my soul tonight. You know, brother, there's a lot of people thinks that God... Listen, there's people 10, 15 years ago said that I blasphemed the Holy Ghost and God wasn't going to be with me no more. I don't tell you what, brother, if it ain't God that's been with me for these last few years, pray tell me who in the world it has been. Somebody been taking care of me. Somebody been watching out for me and my kids. Somebody's kept me safe on the highway. Oh, he took care of me when my head was going down like this, falling asleep. Somebody sure has paid my bills. Somebody's kept me healthy. Somebody's prepared the way, and I know who it is. You may not, but I do. I'm telling you tonight, thank God, the Lord hadn't forgot us. The Lord hadn't forgot us. He ain't forgot our church. Amen. He ain't forgot us. There's been people prophesied failure for us for years. And they always turn out to be wrong, and they always will. Because God don't forget His young'uns. He said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. You say, Brother Danny,
There finally come a time when God just won't mess with you no more, only if you choose it to be that way. Listen, God don't give up on you. You give up on Him. God don't give up on you. God loves you more than any parent could love a child. I talked to a man out here in some apartments not long ago. He looked to be maybe 60 years old. I felt so sorry for that fella. I talked to him. I said, "What's the deal here, Dad? I mean, I go to church." He said, "I go every now and then." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "I sit here by myself all the time." I said, "You love the Lord?" He said, "Yeah, I love Him. It just seems like, you know, nobody don't care." And I said, "That's not true, Dad." Right over from him, older lady in another apartment. I felt so sorry for that woman. You know who I feel sorry for lots of classes of people, but you know what kills me? You know what? Just like a knife sticking in my stomach. When I meet a woman like I'm getting ready to tell you about, I said, "Ma'am, how you doing?" And she just looked down and she said, I'm not happy. I said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "My husband ran off 2 years ago. He ran off to Florida with another woman. I've just been sitting here." You say, "Well, I know somebody their husband died." Listen, brother. A woman that her husband died goes through nothing like a woman her husband takes another woman and runs off to Florida with. I'm not minimizing death. Death is a hard thing to go through, but it ain't one-tenth of knowing your mate is in another state with somebody else. I felt so sorry for that woman. I said, "Ma'am, God loves you." And she said, "I know it." And I said, "God cares about you." Here she's stuck in that old apartment. Nobody to come around and get her, take her out, ride around. She couldn't get out and go. She looked kind of plain and was dressed kind of plain, and she wasn't very attractive. And she just thought, "Well, here I'm no good. My husband would rather have another woman than me. My mate, y'all, my health is not good. I'm here in this little apartment 24 hours a day." I told her about verses of Scripture like Psalm 9:10 that said, "God hadn't forsaken them that seek Him." You may say, "Brother Danny, why does God let us have to go through things like that?" There's probably 20 people in here tonight that know exactly how that lady feels. My heart goes out to men, but my heart goes out more to these ladies that get stuck, treated like dogs. Seem like, man, he's old tough, old knothead. He can just toughen himself up and go through it. Those women hurt so bad. They hurt so bad. Boy, I tell you, their agony is great. I'm telling you tonight, you've got a God in heaven that loves you. You've got a God up there that cares about you. There'll never be a time when you'll say, "My husband's left me, my kids has run out on me, and now God's left me." You'll never say that. You might say, "My husband's left me, my kids has left me," but you'll never say, "God's left me. He don't leave you." Amen! He don't leave you. You know, sometimes they have these court cases down there. They have little kids in the courtroom that mama or daddy, neither one wants. Isn't that sad? But if you're a child of God tonight, you'll never be involved in a custody battle. There'll never be a time when the court will say, "All right, does nobody want this kid? Will we have to find him a place and be able to adopt somewhere?" God will step up and say, "Yeah, I'll take him." He said, "When my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up." They'll never forsake you. God hadn't forgot you. You know, all my kids are a little bit big for this now, but just it's been, you know, for the past few years, I've had babies. And boy, I'll tell you, Corey, who is around here somewhere, she's back in the nursery. She's 3 now. Does anybody know where she is? Raise your hand if you see her. Raise your hand, Carrie. Okay, thank you. She's 3 now, and boy, I'll tell you what, you know what she used to do? She used to wake up in her little bed. We put her in her little bed at night and lay her down in there, and I got one of them little old things, little intercom, where part of it's in her room, and I plug it in the wall, and I turn the button on. The other is in my bedroom, and I turn the button on, and I can hear every move she makes in that room. She can roll over in the bed, and I can hear it. But boy, she don't know that. And she used to wake up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden she makes me go, "Ah!"
And I'd jump up my cat. I'd think, what in the world was that? And she'd say, Daddy! 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 And for a second, I'd lay there and I'd think, oh, I don't want to get up. It'd be 3 o'clock in the morning. I got in bed at 12. And I'd lay there and I'd think,
if I just lay here for a minute, she'll forget about it and go back to sleep.
And sometimes she would. But other times she'd keep crying, Daddy! 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 And I'd go, Lord, let her go back to sleep, please. And she'd say, Daddy! Daddy! And finally I'd just throw the cup. You know what she thinks? She thinks I can't hear her. She thinks I'm not listening. She thinks, why won't he come? I've been calling him and calling him. She don't know that I've heard every word she said. She don't realize that I knew from the second she woke up, I was aware of it just like that. She don't know that I had an intercom up there in my room and I could hear every little whimper. I wasn't about to let nothing bad happen to her. I just wondered if cry hard enough, you know. If you don't cry hard enough, I don't get picked up. And boy, I tell you, I go down the steps, and I run in down the hallway, and I go in her room, and I grab and say, what's the matter, honey? She don't whimper. She don't make another whimper. I take her up there, and she sleeps with me the rest of the night. You say, boy, you glad she's out of that? And yeah, I don't have to go to her now. She just walks up there. But anyway, I tell you what, brother, she winds up in bed with me almost every night. Almost every night, she winds up in bed with me. And boy, I'll tell you what, I'll hold her there and say, it's all right, honey. She goes back to sleep just like that. And I want to tell you, many times we get in trouble, our lives in a mess, and we start saying, God, God, and we don't hear a word. And we say, God, oh God, you got to help me. God, you got to help me. God, you got to help me. God don't do nothing. God don't say a word. Now listen, he's awake up there. He's heard you, but he's just going to wait and let you cry a little bit harder. He wants to make sure you mean it bad enough. I mean, the split second you hit your knees, God said, I hear him down there. Just because he don't jump when we say, don't mean God has forgotten us, folks. And boy, the Lord heard you the very first. Matter of fact, God knew what you needed before you ever called on Him. He told Daniel, he said, Daniel, the first day you started praying took 21 days for Daniel to hear from heaven. But God said, I heard you the first day you started out, boy. He said, you didn't have to worry. I was going to do it. I'm telling you tonight, hallelujah, when we get down on our knees and we say, oh God, you say, oh Brother Danny, why don't He come and get me? Why don't He come and get me? He's just going to let you cry a little. He'll be down. He'll be down in a little while. He'll be down to get you. God has not forgotten you. He said, none sparrow won't fall to the earth without God noticing it. Ye are of more value than of many sparrows. Secondly tonight, let me give you a second thought. This is for you that's in trouble. Here it is, your second thought. Romans 8:28 is still in the book. Amen. Job's trouble made him confess his pride.
What does that mean?
That means sometimes God lets you get in a mess to make you live closer to Him. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for good. Romans 8:28 don't say that everything that happens to us is good. That's ridiculous. Everything that happens to us is not good. You might go out there and get run over by a car tonight. That's not good. But it says all things work together are good. Everything that a child of God goes through, God, if you love Him, God will work it around and you'll see good. You say, there just ain't no way any good can come out of this mess. You're wrong. You're wrong according to the Bible. You're wrong according to the Scripture. You know what God said? If you love Him, you'll look back a few years later and say, well, I'll be. That was God working good out of that and teaching me that. Listen, I've known people that have went through hard times and they told me, they say, Brother Danny, why does God have to let me go through this? This is awful. And then about 2 years later, they'd say, hey, you remember when I was going through that bad time? Well, now I see why God let me go through it, because I'm able to use my experience to help others. Who can be at the funeral home and comfort a person with a loved one dying or dead better than one who has been there himself? Who can preach a sermon on maybe a certain subject better than one who's been there himself? God lets us go through troubles and hard times to prove that Romans 8:28 is true. David's trouble taught him some valuable lessons. It don't say all things are good, but work together for more good. It's like a puzzle. A storm. You know what? When a storm comes, see, you know why sometimes God lets lightning flash and thunder roll and boy, it get real scary outside? Just to remind me and you, we're not in control of anything. We think we're under control. God's got it all under control, boy. And really, He'll let a flood come or a tornado or a hurricane every now and then just to show us to trust Him. He's the one that's in control of this thing. Amen. Help me to see sunshine through rain. What I count loss may somehow be gain. Help me to sing when I would cry, knowing that Thou art standing by. Paul, they say his sweetest epistles in the Bible was written while he was in jail, not in a motel. Hear me? You say, boy, if I could get my bills paid and I could really get some straightened out and I could get my kids in line or my husband to straighten up, boy, I could really be effective for God. You can be effective for God right there in that circumstance you're in. Paul was in jail. What if Paul would have said, good night, Lord, if you'd just get me out of jail and I could go around like some of these evangelists, fly around and stay in Holiday Inns and stuff, I'd write some mean scripture. God said, no, Paul, you're going to write it down there in the jail, man, starving with your belly hurting. Rats running all over you. Candlelight for your lantern. The floor for your desk. A bucket for your altar. Parchments for your Bible. Write, boy, write. Sometimes right in the middle of your hard, difficult time. You know what? I never will forget. That revival meeting over in Robbinsville. You've heard me tell it. It's amazing. It's amazing. I never felt like less preaching a revival meeting in my life. I couldn't even begin to tell you what I'd gone through the weekend before that. Couldn't even begin to tell you. I mean, you folks don't even know. You'd flip your lid if you knew. That night I said, God, I'm dying. My clothes ain't packed. I'm wore out. I'm sleepy. I don't know where the place is. I felt somebody needs to preach to me. God, give me some help. I didn't feel worthy to preach. If I'd have listened to the flesh and the devil, I'd have called that preacher and said, listen, preacher, I just ain't up to it. I can't preach no revival. Been the dumbest mistake I could possibly make. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. Don't ever say, well, Brother Bruce, I'm just down and out. I just ain't got the victory. I just ain't worthy no more. Don't ever talk like that. I got in my car and headed out over there the next day and said, God, here I go. I ain't never turned down a place to preach, and by the grace of God, never will. I'll go if you'll give me grace. I know I ain't much, but if you can use me, here I am. I got so sleepy on the way over here, I had to pull over and go to sleep on the side of the road. I thought I was going to get killed. And I just leaned the seat back car and went to sleep a few minutes. And I was dreaming kind of like, you know, and everything, and all upset. My stomach was tied in knots. And boy, I got up and drove over there. That night I just barely got my clothes changed. And they took me up, winding up that little old road. It was cold as ice. My feet was freezing. I didn't know what I should preach on. I felt my heart was back at home. My stomach was going in knots. It felt like somebody just took a knife and stuck it in my heart. And I said, God, here I am. If you can use me, here I am. I got up that night when I started preaching. Boy, I could feel something. I just forgot all those troubles. God moved in that. You know, we had 75 people say the revival went 21 nights. I mean to tell you, the church doubled in attendance. It ain't never been the same since. The community, you know that thing. You know what they told me the other day? They said, during that revival, that some, they had spies down here in McDowell County checking on me, see if they could dig up some junk on me. That's wild, ain't it? Good godly somebody that feels called to go dig up dirt on yours. There's more demons working around than you could... Listen, when them demons got here to McDowell County from Robbinsville to check up on me, they wasn't room for no more demons. They had to turn around and go back. There's enough here to fill up this place. You, brother, God, Romans 8:28, you stand the book. You know, sometimes when you think you've my flock, you've done your best. And sometimes when you think you've really done something, you ain't done nothing. It's God that does it. It's God that does it. It's God that does it. I've heard people up and sing and just think, I just made a mess. And God used that song to encourage somebody's heart, to bless their soul, maybe just help them over a hump in their life. You never know. Just love God. Just love God. Romans 8:28 still in the book. How that illustration about how that fleet was out to sea, a fleet of ships on those islands in the war, and they was lost out there, and they couldn't find them. And these wives were walking back and forth on the beach saying, oh no, oh no. And this woman, her husband was out there on the ship, and she's saying, oh no, my husband's gone. Oh no, I'll never see him again. Oh no. And all the wives got together and tried to comfort each other because their husbands were lost out at sea. And they knew they'd never see him again because they were no doubt lost and couldn't find their way back to that little tiny island. And this one lady, boy, she got to thinking, she thought, oh, what else could happen? It's awful. About that time, fire broke out in her little hut, and her hut burned down. And boy, she got to thinking, God, why did this happen? God, my husband's gone. On the very same night, my house burned down. I've lost everything I've got. I've lost my husband. I've lost my family. I've lost my house. I'm here stranded on this island with nothing and no hope. God, why? God, why? God, why does this happen? Ever noticed it seems like when one thing happens, another thing happens, and when it rains, it pours, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And boy, that lady, she couldn't figure out why it got so bad. But the next morning about daybreak, they said, somebody looked out there and they said, where's the ships? And boy, they said, ships had found their way back. And boy, they all come in and the wives were hugging their husbands. She said, I thought I'd never see you again. And don't you ever do that again. I mean, boy, I tell you. She said, but I've got some bad news. She said, I've got bad news. Last night our house burned down and we have nowhere to live. We have nothing in our house. He said, oh, honey, don't. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. He said, it was the light of that fire last night that lit up and we saw it way out yonder. He said, if that house hadn't have burned down, we'd have never made it back. The light of that fire guided us in. And what sometimes seems like a terrible thing is a good thing. What sometimes seems like a tragedy is God working something else in your life. And let me tell you tonight, church, hear me. You hear me? No matter what you're going through, some of you ladies here tonight, maybe you're 25 or you're 30, maybe you're 35, maybe you're 40, maybe you're a widower, maybe you're a divorcee, and you're saying, God, why am I having to go through what I'm doing? Listen, right now, God has a plan for you. God's got something in the making for you. If you just wait on Him and keep crying and keep being faithful and keep loving Him, God will bless you somewhere down the road. Romans 8:28 still in the book. You could look up like Job and say, though He slay me, yet trust in Him. Listen, sometimes, I've been like this, sometimes when you think, boy, things is picking up, you get it again. And you think, well, God, I've had my share. It's about some of these other folks had some trouble. Praise God. I'm on a mountaintop. Boom! There. It's like that fellow said, I saw the light at the end of the tunnel. Hallelujah. But it was an oncoming train. Sometimes you think, boy, it's finally man, it might have just started. And I ain't trying to depress you tonight, folks. Do you want me to be honest with you? You're in for it. You want the forecast? Terrible things are going to happen. If the rapture don't come, have you ever seen a time? Some of you folks that's been in church, Brother Clinton and I have been in church, Brother Glenn, some of you folks been. Have you ever seen a time when so many terrible things is happening to people like they are now? I mean, great. Hey, in the morning, it ain't safe to live. I mean, you don't know what's going on out there anymore. Our cities have become concrete jungles. The food's contaminated. The water's dirty. You don't germs, AIDS floating around all over the place. You're liable to get bombed any day now. There's some maniac over there. Listen, them people over there, them people's crazy, man. They're crazy. They'd do anything. I'm telling you tonight, we better learn how to trust God.
Better learn how to trust.
This is the last thing I'll say, and I'm closing. This too will pass. Don't forget that. It'll pass.
Don't worry. There's a better day coming.
Well, go.
He maketh wars to cease. Might be a big old bad war, but it's going to end. Might be a mighty long night,
but day's coming.
Every once in a while I get in church.
I've been discouraged. I've been down. I'm tired of fighting. Buddy, I'm fighting a battle. Don't you doubt it one second. And I know many of you are too.
Sometimes I think,
great day, Lord. What's next? And I'll hear that song by the youth choir, Dawning of the Day.
I'll start thinking, it ain't going to be forever. Some says, hang in, Brother Danny. It'll be over and it's going to make heaven sweeter. That makes you just want it to hurry up and get over. Usually what we thought was our biggest hindrance was our biggest blessing.
Listen, if God has kept you humble and on praying ground and used you and blessed you by letting trouble come to your life, He's done you a favor, man. If everything went your way, you're liable to forget God and go out and sin.
Just be still and know that He's God.
Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, said one time, he said, I'm so weak, I cannot work. I'm so feeble, I cannot read the Bible. I'm so weak, I can't even pray. I can only lie still and trust.
My, my, my. Trust Him when the dark doubts assail thee. Trust Him when your strength is small.
Hear me?
Hear me? Trust Him when the dark doubts assail thee. Trust Him when your strength is small. Trust Him when to trust Him simply seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him. He's ever faithful. Trust Him. His will is best. Trust Him. For the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. Trust Him then through cloud and sunshine. All the care, your cares upon Him cast till the storms of life are over. And the trusting days are past. Somebody said, earth's the place for trust, heaven's the place for understanding.
We'll understand it better by and by.
Sister Kelly, I want you to come up here. Y'all come, Kathy, come to the piano. I want to get ready to sing that song. I like that little thing. I've talked about it before. I used to didn't pay much attention to it years ago, that they put in these Christian bookstores. And I'll tell you this, and I'm closing.
That little thing that says footprints. How many of you ever seen it?
Yeah.
Ain't that good? This fellow's walking alongside the beach, you know, and the Lord's walking right beside him. And you could see their tracks going down through there. And then a real terrible battle came. And he had a real terrible time. And boy, he thought, God, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? And he got down to the end of the road. And he said, God, look, I had to walk down through there all by myself. There's just one set of footprints. Why didn't you help me? Why'd you leave me when I needed you so bad? And God said, son, I didn't leave you. You just thought I did. The reason you only see one set of footprints because during time I was carrying you. Amen. If you've ever been saved, hear me tonight. If you've ever been saved, God ain't going to just drop you and forget you. He's going to see you through. Amen. She gets ready to sing this song. I want us to join in on the chorus. If you need to come and lay a heavy burden at the altar. I really felt like preaching. Lord, want me to preach this tonight. Because I know these people in here tonight that you have really, really, really gone through a rough time.
As she sings, you listen. We'll join in on the chorus. Let's all stand. If you need to come and pray, you need to lay a heavy burden down here on the altar. Just get out of your seat. Come on right now. Come on.
In the darkness of the night.
Amen. Amen.
Feeling
amen.
So
that's right. Come on. Somebody else.
It's going to get better. It's going to get better. It might be 20 years, but it's going to get better. Come on tonight. Come on. Just keep coming. You're carrying a heavy load tonight. Trust Him.
Seems that I'm away.
Trust Him. Trust Him.
Then I
trust
Him. His loving arms, and I hear Him
say, everybody, it's not. Say. Come on, youth choir, say. God's Son will come. He's going to come and take care of it one of these days. Sing, y'all, say. Bring your burden to the Lord. Leave them there. Listen now, listen.
All times I get discouraged.
Have you ever been discouraged?
Satan is so
strong. Have you ever felt like the devil was just going to get you?
That's when I need
there wasn't no use trying. Listen, listen.
God's still on the throne.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And He'll send
He's still on the throne.
Bring me.
That's right. Come on, ladies. Come on. God's speaking
to
your heart. Come on, right now. Come on.
Of this I can
yes.
be happy.
Amen. Everybody sing, sing. It's not very long. Turn it up, folks. God's Son will come. Chasing my way. Yes. Things will be changed when His Son comes through the cloud. Come on. The whole chorus, the whole chorus. It's not very long. Here to come, come on. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Away. Amen. Getting everything fixed up tonight.
While she continues to play softly and these are praying, maybe God's dealt with you. Maybe you're running from Him. Boy, it's a sweet time up here tonight. It's a sweet time. Passion altar. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Have you got problems that you can't handle? Huh? You got something that you just seem like this thing, I just can't handle it. Right here's a place to put it tonight. Right place to put it. Yes, it is. Financial, physical, domestic, spiritual. Amen. This is the right place to come. This is the right place to come. This is the right place to come. Has God spoken to your heart? Amen. We still got several praying tonight. Lord wants to help you tonight. Bible said, cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But it ain't easy always. It ain't easy. Something about this generation just ain't got what it takes. But I hope God will put something in us to make us stay faithful. I don't know what we'd do. If it ever really got bad, I don't know what we'd do. I trust and hope and pray we'd stand for the Lord. And I hope you'll do that. Now the ladies are going to meet over there in that room for the ladies' retreat. And, the offering, right? We're going to ask our ushers to come up here and get these offering plates. We're going to take up an offering tonight. And I'll tell you what I want us to do. Folks, there's so many people need help that it's pitiful. But I feel like Lord's laid it on my heart tonight. Helen, where are you at? Okay, Sister Helen Clark's mama, I talked with them a little bit about her this evening, is in real bad need. She's been in the hospital, had tremendous bills, not able to work. They, you know, need our help tonight. And I'd like to do something twofold with this offering. Let's help her mama and Sister Diane Hamilton. Diane needs help bad. And we've got other people right here in our church that need it. But I just felt like the Lord wanted us to help them tonight. And so we'll help them both out tonight. Just split this offering between them. And I want to ask you tonight, if you've got good health tonight, you've got to work this week and got a payday, dig down. And we'll give it to these two ladies that need it real bad. If you want to write a check, just write to the church and we'll write them one. But let's give them a good offering tonight. Could we do that? I believe there's enough of us here. If everybody pitch in a little bit, we'll have an offering. Now, don't forget before we do this that if you haven't saw your pictures, the last chance you'll get to see your pictures will be Thursday from 4 to 8 right here at the church. Thursday from 4 to 8. Please pray for me about this revival meeting. I don't know how it's going to go or how the Lord set things to go. Just pray the Lord to show us what to do and Lord, just bless this week. All right, fellas, go ahead and pass them things. Put something in there tonight.